Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Mars is the best. Come visit Mars. You'll have total recall.
Because I can hear you in my ears and downstairs. That was the weirdest fucking thing that has happened to me.
No, I can't do it. I can't keep it up. These are more masculine than I can bother with. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of SFFCH. I'm Richard. Wavy wave, 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 wave. Imagine it. And also with me is Abigail.
Hello.
I'm imagining her waving as well, so don't worry. And also Abby. No, fuck. Fuck that up.
Hello.
Not two Abbeys.
You had one job, Reg.
You thought it was the real Abby. It is. Oh, and Anthony.
Hello.
He's not waving. How mean.
Sucks.
What am I doing? Yes, the podcast. Okay. So, as I recall, this week's film is Total Recall, and it was Abby's pick, so she should give the details so you don't confuse which one it is, because there's two of them out there. There's a tricky little bastard that came out later on, and it's fucking pup. We're not doing that one. So, Abby, if you will.
Total Recall is a 1990 American science fiction action film directed by Paul Verhoeven and starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rachel Ticotin, Sharon Stone, Ronnie Cox, and Michael Ironside. The film tells the story of a construction worker who suddenly finds himself embroiled in espionage on Mars and unable to determine if the experiences are real or the result of memory implants. It was written by Ronald Shusett, Dan O'Bannon, John Povill, and Gary Goldman, based on the short story called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale by Philip K. Dick.
Yes, it was a bit confusing there because you read that at such a pace. I thought the book title sort of was almost like you were continuing your sentence. But yeah, the book, which is only 18 pages long, so I actually managed to read 3 pages before not
It's
having
at an
time.
all-time low.
I tried, honestly. But Abby, you've read the book that this is based on. Not all the book, because the book you read, Philip K. Dick's Total Recall, What Is Real, is a book of many, many stories, one of which, as I say, 18 pages long, is We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, is that right?
Yes.
Which is, so you've read that, even though it's a short story. You know all about the book this time for a change, Abby, yes?
I do. I made notes and everything. In the book, the receptionist is topless for reasons that are not made clear.
Does she have one or two or three tits?
I believe she has two, and she gets spray painted different colours.
I'm just going to pick the book up and have a little read while you guys talk amongst yourselves. But,
I
yes, but you didn't pick this because you read the book and then heard about the film. The film is, I mean, it's too good for us really here at Spoilerfield. It's not really mediocre enough. It's a little, at times, you could say it's a little cheesy.
But it is well weird.
It is odd. It is an odd film, sure. It's almost mainstream, but it's not quite. So we felt that we could tackle it, didn't we, Abby?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But in fairness, cards on the table, I don't think any of us are going to come away from this review having discovered we didn't enjoy it. We all, including Jamie, who couldn't join us this time, he basically commented, "Yeah, this is legitimately awesome." But we all like it, right? That's the c coming in straight away.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, totes. The only reason I've really put this forward is because there has been a remake, therefore the original has to occasionally be brought up. It's like, no, don't forget the first one.
Yeah,
Everyone.
I'd hate to think there's millennials going around having only seen the new one and gone, "That's a bit shit, isn't it?" And you go, "How dare you?" But then again, people, can probably watch this and think, "Oh, it's a bit shit, isn't it?" And you go, "What planet do you live on? Because it is Mars and there's no oxygen and your head has exploded." Because Total Recall is an Arnie classic, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was the makers of it basically said that it was an alignment of the stars and planets, was that Arnie got to make Total Recall. It's a perfect combination.
I would argue with that point, because the story is quite good. Like, it's obviously, the book is a short story, but the films, the screenplay is quite a fun. It's got kind of a bit of everything. It's got sci-fi, horror, action, comedy, special effects, and Arnie catchphrases, and like all kinds of shit. It's full. It's such a full story. It obviously must come away from the book a bit. The 18 pages cannot contain all of the madness in this film.
Oh, there's a lot. But it's also well weaved together.
So I would have thought, you know, this story could have been told a little more seriously. It's such a fun, bloodthirsty, exciting action movie that actually I think you could kind of pare it down a bit, make it a cold, harder, cooler, more realistic sci-fi. But then maybe you're substituting joy for noir. I don't know. I could see it being a bit more Blade Runner-y anyway, and being less Arnie. But do you agree, Abby, the stars aligned, and that Arnie's the right man for the job, or?
I am one of those people who, 9 times out of 10, likes a good romp and escapism in my films in general. So I'm absolutely delighted that this is wonderfully insane and joyful.
So yeah, Abby is a card-carrying, well, a T-shirt-wearing member of the fan club. You've got a T-shirt of Total Recall, haven't you, Abby?
I do.
And you've read the book, and you've watched the film many times, but you haven't seen the newer one?
I refuse to.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I almost didn't see Blade Runner
2049?
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be a straight remake, but it wasn't. It was a
continuation. Yeah, sequel.
But no, I'm not fond of remakes of films that don't need to be remade.
Yeah, the general rule of thumb I think most connoisseurs of cinema will agree on is remake a bad film and make it good, or don't bother. Because good films, even if they're old, can be reappreciated by new audiences. You don't need to just cynically think, oh, it needs updating because people won't like how creaky and old-fashioned it is. Then, saying that, there's loads of films that are great and are remakes, so you know, it's not a hard and fast rule. But generally, just I think we're all in the mindset that if it's good, leave it alone. So, Anthony, where would you place this in the kind of Arnie echelon of movies? Because he's done a lot of 80s classics and a lot of dreck and rubbish, but some of that can be enjoyed. Where would you place Total Recall? Is it up there with like Terminator 2 or 1 or Predator or something?
I think so. I definitely put it quite high on the list. I don't think there's much more more entertaining that he did. I mean, the Terminator films, the first two at least, are above it. Maybe Predator?
I think Predator's a really underrated film. Well, it's not underrated. It's a really beloved film. I think Predator is surprisingly good. It's only because there's been subsequent lesser Predators. You forget how good the original... you forget how good Predator is.
But I wouldn't put much more higher than this of his work.
What about, like, True Lies? It's pretty fun and action-packed.
I don't think it quite gets to this level.
Yeah, I agree, because this is so... It's got everything. It's got mutants. It's got mad, like, futuristic taxi cabs. It's got murder. It's got sex. It's got... The list goes on and on. It's got horrible grey buildings. It's got everything you want from a exciting action sci-fi thing.
And, as I've said, it is well weird.
It is bizarre. It's got more twists than a fucking turkey Twizzler. Or what else has twists? I don't know. Something twisty, a twister. Right, anyway, let's get on with this, right, guys? I mean, enough beating around the proverbial bush. How do we do this? Because we can't go blow for blow because we'll be here all day because there's quite a lot to get through. So full as the film is. Should we just talk about the whole thing and then highlight bits we want? What do you guys suggest?
Well, there's so little to the book. Maybe I could just cover one or two things real quick.
So this is a non-speculate about the book, speculate about the book section.
Yes. In the book, so I could say book, in the short story, he at no point leaves town. He goes
Well, does
to...
does he leave town in this one, or does he just get a false memory?
But in the short story, he goes to recall. It goes a bit funny. He talks to the government agency in the radio in his head. Then he goes back to recall. And then there's another little quirk at the end. But at no point does he think he goes to Mars.
Isn't he specifically out for a day trip in his mind to Mars, though? I did read 3 pages. I know he was like, he had a dream about Mars. And then he's like, oh, I could have a false memory put in or something.
Yeah, but there isn't any. Yeah, but there's no narrative of him in Mars.
Weird.
This film is based on almost nothing, and that's what makes it so wonderful that they made so much out of it.
A lot of classic sci-fi literature goes on to inspire some other pieces of great, like, cinema fiction. Like, sometimes it's just the kernel of an idea. I know Asimov writes a compelling robot character, and then someone goes, oh, that would be good, and they put it in their film, and they kind of elaborate. So it's like on the shoulders of giants is how these things happen. So sometimes the giants are small, and then the bigger giant is on top. I'm kind of mixing my metaphors a bit.
Just a bit. In the book, Abby, is it more of a thing that whether it's real or not?
It's the sort of general philosophy of the piece, but because there's so little to it, they can't, like, they don't talk about it a huge amount.
Because personally, with the film, I would say it's not a dream.
Oh, right, so we're all instantly going to the end of which school of thought do you have about, did the events of the film happen, or were they... Did they stop after a man has memory implants, and was it all just a big what he paid for scenario?
Yeah, but I just think that because I don't know, there's not enough in there to suggest it's a dream, other than the premise of it. If you know what I mean?
Well, there's a few hints. The thing. Okay, so obviously, just to set up the whole conversation. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays Douglas Quaid, a man who is living a dreary life in the future. You know, he has loads of cool shit, like a wall TV thing. That's pretty fun. He's got a sexy wife that doesn't like him that much. But he's in a dead-end job, and he sees an advert on like their version of the tube. And he goes and decides to have a false memory put in because he can't afford an actual holiday to Mars. And then from the point where he has that surgery procedure done... Or does he? Like, he might have it done, and then it's all one big dream because he asked for an adventure on Mars as a spy. But then we obviously the film kicks off from him kicking and screaming and supposedly not having the procedure. And then he gets embroiled in an espionage spy type plot where a lot of the factors that he actually would have paid for occur to him possibly in real life. That's the idea, isn't it?
Hmm. But then, just by the way the film is made, you get to see multiple points of view at times.
That is true. That's a fair point.
You know, you're privy to things that he wouldn't be privy to, like conversations between other people. There's that. And then I think the big thing for me was just why he wants to go to Mars when he could go to, like, I think they tempt him with, like,
Saturn?
Jupiter.
Or something. Yeah,
Saturn pleasure... cruises or something.
Well, the odd thing really is the film opens with a dream sequence where I think it is meant to be a dream sequence, but basically a couple are walking in suits on Mars across the red cliffs of somewhere or other, and they, like, basically Arnie slips and falls and cracks his visor open and his eyes sort of swell up and he sort of dies on Mars, doesn't he? He sort of head explodes and then wakes up in a room in his apartment.
Hmm.
How would that be like? I want to go on a holiday to that place. It would be a bit like getting guillotined in revolutionary France and being like, ooh, I do fancy a trip to Paris.
Yeah.
While the uprising is going on.
If he was sufficiently unhappy with his life, he might want to go somewhere that might kill him.
What, banging his sweet wife, who he loves, and having an awesome TV that is square when you watch the news, but when it goes even bigger when you want to fake the wall and pretend you have a nice window.
Although I will say, you know, the hints are there all the way through of whether it's like you can go back and watch it from different perspectives of, yes, it's real and his wife is, say, like his wife is just concerned by his behaviour, because why would you want to go to Mars? Because it's like, you know, it's being portrayed as a terrible place. Mm. And then his friend, you know, actually does know someone who had a lobotomy from having it, and he's just worried about him. But then you can also go back and make it and argue that, you know, she's obviously trying to steer him away from thinking about Mars, and so is his friend.
Yeah, it's, you can basically interpret it both ways, which is a really nice feature of Total Recall, the fact that you can watch it thinking, oh, wait, was it all a dream and an implant that he asked for? Because essentially he gets like the kind of sit-down. It's almost like going to the opticians. It's just like a cool new thing, like going on estate agents, I guess, would be more appropriate. And planning a little package mental holiday and having someone tamper with your brain so that you think you went on it, which is a weird thing to do to yourself. You'd never know, like, because they basically wipe the fact that you came to the Total Recall Center. You'd never know how many fucking mental brain holidays you've taken anyway. They're like, hello sir, we haven't met you before. We haven't like shook your hand and had you pay us hundreds of times. But anyway, the point is, the package holiday aspect of the memory trip, they go through a load of procedural stuff, and they cover a lot of things like, oh, the two-headed mutant alien-y things might be in your thing, you're going to be a spy, and obviously you've decided to go to Mars, which he ends up going to. Actually, Abby, that's one thing you said wasn't in the book, that the guy doesn't go to Mars, so what do they do instead, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The story just covers basically the day he goes to Recall, and that they try and put it in his head. It kicks over the lid of his brain. And then the government guys speak to him, but he doesn't run off to Mars again at that point. They just speak to him. They make a deal with him to go back to Recall to try and put the lid back on. And then there's just another bit again about being like a little kid and save the world from aliens. That bit's weird. But yeah, he doesn't run off to Mars. He just talks to the people from the government and they make a deal.
So a huge departure then from whatever.
Absolutely. It's a massive departure. There's no mutants. There's no mining. His wife's still a bitch, but she's just a bitch because she's a bitch. There's no romance. There's no other woman. They've added in so much stuff. That's great.
That's good then. More credit to the people who made the first Total Recall. But anyway, the idea being, I guess, is this real or is it not? Did he ask for all this? Because the shopping list of things he asked for all appear in this espionage. But you're right, Anthony, that, I mean, it could be a qualm to do with how films are put together, that they show the perspective of other characters. That is a good argument for, well, this did happen.
And my quibble, though, is that the number of times that he would have died and didn't die is conspicuous. Like, especially at the very end, when him and her have been outside and their eyes are starting to pop out. Just because the oxygen comes in, you would not be fine.
That's like, so if the Total Recall company decide to send you on a mental adventure that couldn't happen because of the laws of physics. That's a bit of a flaw on their behalf. Like, oh shit, you have all these memories of things that aren't scientifically possible. improbable is okay, because you could accidentally not be shot several times.
Mm.
But then I guess that's the memory, isn't it? You believe a dream's happening until it stops happening, don't you?
Yeah, totes.
I think, you know, the whole blue sky on Mars, that's a new feature. Like, that, they drop in these little hints that then when they happen, you go, oh, shit, maybe it wasn't real. So it works both ways. But I agree with Anthony. I fall on the side of it did happen. Not that you need to make up your mind fully. It's one of those things, isn't it? But I just think it sort of can only make sense fully that way. There's kind of... There's just lots of little things, I guess.
I think maybe the thing with me is, if it was a different actor, maybe. But because it's Schwarzenegger, it has to be reality, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Like, he doesn't have that kind of brooding edge where it would make sense to be struggling whether it's a dream or not, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete ludicrous concept that you'd put in such an elaborate... Like, how you'd program... I mean, obviously it's like science fiction, but to program such an elaborate con, it's like, oh, you're going to think you were a spy on Mars. Yeah, but you're also going to... We're going to also program it to have loads of twists and turns so that it's plausible that it happened as soon as you got here. And it's just like, why would a company trying to swindle you out of a few bob go to have these elaborate brain probes that... When you've experienced it all, you don't know whether you're like awake or dreaming, or you'd send you crazy. And I mean, they do lobotomize people potentially, but it would be maddening to have all this experience put in your head by a company. So why the fuck would they do that? Plus, at the end, say they kiss and save the day, like was asked for, like in the kind of scenario he picks, then he'd wake up or come round, and it would be a fake memory, but he wouldn't believe it anymore. The whole point of Total Recall is you think it's a genuine holiday you had, so you wouldn't believe it had happened to you if you'd have to have further explanation after the end of the film to get him back to believing it really happened. Like, he'd have to still have to go back to his life as like a bloke who works in a construction site, wouldn't he? So I don't know, bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to come to a conclusion about it because it was deliberately ambiguous occasionally. They didn't, like, go... I liked that it wasn't too philosophically, is it real, is it not? Just every now and again, it would sort of lean it a bit.
It doesn't go like Inception and make a big fucking farty point about layers of dreams. It is just, if you were having a false memory put in, you would need to get around the fact that you've just walked out of the place they do it. So you'd have to have that slightly dump him in the alleyway, dump him in the back of a cab amnesia trip. Like, in the case of this film, they obviously explain it as, oh, fuck, something's gone wrong. This guy's freaking out. Let's just knock him out and ditch him. And, you know, it sets up the idea they're an unethical company. And so Arnie has to sort of unpick then what actually is going on to him, whether or not he's had it or not. And I guess... who all these people are. Because essentially everyone in his life suddenly are behaving like they're spies in an espionage thing. Like, his friend from the construction site is like, hi buddy, let's just walk down this alleyway and then get into a kerfuffle because you blabbed about Mars, and then Arnie basically has to dispatch them like he's a murderer. Like, that's the thing as well, is he stops being Joe Schmo and he's got these skills to kill people. Did he have that intrinsically? You know, was it who he was before?
Well, it does obviously work out, so presumably he did have some capability in that way.
Just because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger, you just believe that he can kill everyone instantly if he chooses to flex his muscles the right way. But it was cool how... I'd forgotten that... Because it's such a wacky film, I'd forgotten how kind of bloodthirsty it is. Like, it's properly when, like, the 90s and 80s were all about, let's put fucking squibs in every fucker and have blood going everywhere and cool machine gun deaths whenever we can bother, whenever we fucking want. Let's really make it what little boys want to watch, you know?
That's the thing. It's very, it's weird to say little boys because it's so bloodthirsty and not at all for children. But at the same time, it does appeal to the juvenile part of the brain. Just this sort of primitive need for nonsense.
I think all 12 to 15-year-olds want what this film delivers. Even like at 18, you might go, oh, this is a bit silly. But at 15, you're like, yeah, mutants and gunfire and three-titted aliens or mutant ladies or whatever. And just cool like catchphrases. It's a bit like if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were allowed to cut loose and actually do some of the stuff that they could do with their weapons, you know? Like, well, not it's not blade-based, but you know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of cartoon 12-year-old thing.
Cartoon's a good word. I could not discern where the fake Arnie ended and the real Arnie began.
They're both incredibly plastic. Well, that's the other thing. It's full of these insane, ambitious practical effects. A bit of CGI, but mostly really ridiculous. Whatever you can imagine we're going to achieve. Like, I forgot how many times we see a contorting fake Arnie head replacing the real Arnie. Like, you kind of remember the ones like, oh yeah, when he's on Mars and his head's sort of swelling up from the lack of oxygen or whatever. And you remember the fact that he comes out of like a woman disguise and the fact that that head kind of like breaks open and reveals Arnie, and you go, oh yeah, for a second we get a bit of fake Arnie head. But I'd forgotten the one where like he has to jam something up his nose to get out like a tracker chip. So yeah, like he's being instructed on a video by himself. His past self is telling him, just jam this gadget up your nose and they like have his bulbous red light coming out of his face. And it's, oh my God. I'd forgotten how much, like, did you guys remember there being so much ridiculous like practical effects in this?
They went all out as well. So, like, when they had the wind right at the very end and they were flapping around on the breeze, it wasn't just practical effects, the stunts, everything was just... It was out there just enough.
What do you mean by out there just enough?
Like, it was ridiculous, but not so ridiculous that you stepped off the train, as it were.
Yeah.
They peak stupid without going too far.
Yeah, it was more cool than anything else, wasn't it?
I was surprised. Like, I wouldn't say they hold up entirely, but I was, like, surprised how well most of the effects have aged in this. Especially my favourite one was it a Quatu? Like, the mutant coming out of someone's body.
Yes.
Like I didn't remember that being so good. Like, it's got, like, full articulation in its face. It was kind of freaky, actually.
Yeah. And the voice was really good as well.
I think... I just forgotten how kind of John Carpenter's The Thing it gets at times. Like, there's so many, like, Cronenbergian-type things going on. Because of the mutants. I mean, you kind of remember, oh, yeah, three boobs and people with big vagina scar faces and things. And then you go, yeah, just the stuff that is just, wouldn't it be cool if? And you go, yes, it would. Now let's get some fucking cool special effects guys to make models and rig stuff. And you go, oh my God, this is brilliant. Like, there's the same level of, no, oh, it doesn't look real, as you would get if you did really convincing CGI anyway. Like, you don't buy it, but you don't get annoyed by it the same way visual effects date. You know, I think there will be people, the naysayers, who are like, oh, it's like it looks fake as hell. But it's such a fun film. You're not in that mindset, really. Even now, when it's already dated and old-fashioned, it feels just fun. And Matt, like, it's that sort of toxic waste of spilled mutant. Is it okay to do? It's almost, is this, like, you know, having a go at people? They kind of make a point of Quaid. Like, when he's got cool with all the mutants on Mars, when he goes there, he's, like, not put off by them and doesn't find them that freakish. And, like, there's one scene where he even strokes the face of a little girl who is, like, trying to Was she just, like, selling something or asking?
Tell him his birthday, I think.
Oh, she's grifting as, like, a fortune teller.
Mm.
But, like, he's a nice guy to the mutants and saves the mutants and is friends with some of them. And so they make a point of going, look, we're not disabledists. They're not freaks for being mutants. They are victims of the evil corporation who let them get mutated by putting up the dome on Mars, is it?
The previous generation of domes were cheap and not as effective. So the earlier settlers there got fucked over.
So because of that, they have little baby blokes in their stomach that can read minds and weird weird alien arms and vagina faces.
I want to talk about Thumbelina.
Go on.
Thumbelina was the dwarf whore. And but the bit I want to talk about is she gets the best bit in the film, because when they raid the bar that she's working in, she stands on the bar and she gets handed an automatic weapon and she is shooting these guys down from on top of a bar dressed as a whore. I'm like, yes, good for you, bravo.
So her name is Thumbelina, but the actress or the prostitute name is that?
Yes.
The
actress is Debbie Lee Carrington.
Okay.
Great work.
It must be just nice not to get, you know, Ferd Munchking on the left. Oh, I'm getting a gun and killing people. That's awesome. Because it's so, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
This film actually feels like it could easily take place in the kind of Dredd universe, Judge Dredd, that is. It feels like the same sort of slightly exploitation-y sci-fi dystopia, but, you know, pleasantly filled with violence and mad fun. And,
sorry,
you know,
before we move on too far, we should also mention that this is the film from which the famous three-breasted prostitute is from.
Well, we have mentioned the three breasts. But yeah, I mean,
I just don't know if we actually said it, like,
is
explicitly.
It that
like,
important
one
to you?
You have seen in various memes and GIFs around the world. That's what this is in. The three-titted woman is in this film.
If you've seen tits on something, if you've seen an irregular number of tits, you can trust it traces all the way back to Total Recall.
That's alright. Please continue.
Oh, it's alright. I mean, I like you thought that was important to bring up.
There was a note that I forgot to bring up when we were talking about the special effects earlier. And it was that little comedy moment they had when he was being chased down on the customs into Mars. And he's standing behind the x-ray machine, and then guys come in from both sides, and you're seeing them as an x-ray. Then he jumps through the glass at the camera to get away. That's a cracking little bit of special effects.
It's so fucking imaginative, isn't it? Like, there's loads of stuff you go, oh, should we? It'll be a lot of effort to do that. It doesn't seem to care about how tricky something is or whether or not it's worth doing. It just does what would be cool in a sci-fi. Yes, we're doing it and we'll find a way. And they find so many different ways. Like you say, it's really cool that they do. They set up the x-ray machine. Oh, cool. When you walk through, it checks if you've got a weapon hidden on you. You get, your skeleton is seen. It gives you radiation poisoning. And then when they have it pay off later when they see the gun on him, it's just cool. Like, there's so many bits that are like, oh, you just feel like if you were making a practical effect sci-fi, you'd be like, oh, that'll cost you much, would it? Like, there'd be some sort of need to worry, and it just doesn't care about that.
There's one bit of, in-world science that I need an opinion on. I'd like Anthony's opinion first. And it's the old wet towel routine to muffle the transistor in his head. On any level, does that make sense to you?
Not really.
No.
Maybe if they were using some kind of metal or something, but just a wet towel. Although, I will say, I'm fine with it just to see Arnie wearing a wet towel turban for
it's
10
true.
Minutes.
He's running around in it and stuff. I think the whole film, once Arnie breaks free and realizes there's a big conspiracy at foot. I think his first confrontation actually is with his wife, and there's a whole argument about, oh, you went to that stupid place where they put memories in, they've just fucked up the surgery. She tries to convince him, And then he's outed as like, oh, I'm actually an agent paid to be your wife. And she's trying to manipulate him while the bad guys can swarm the place. And he's like, why? Like, you have the idea of just fighting your wife off, who you previously thought you loved and have lived with, and then fucking off onto an adventure to Mars. It's just, like, what the fuck are we watching, you know?
And she has a cracking fight with Melina later on as well, when they're trying to kill them both much later.
The fight with him is pretty good. Like, she's in her exercise gear because she's getting a kind of... There's lots of technology, actually, this film predicts. And correctly, I guess, well, a little bit. Like, holograms, the kind of... she's having a tennis lesson from a hologram, and we're sort of at a stage where we got holograms, kind of. They're at least as crap as they are in this film. So she's having tennis lessons, and then she has a fight with Arnie. When the jig is up, she sort of attacks him. It's just, it's really out of nowhere and kind of, oh shit, and she's just in sweaty gym wear. It's like, you know, this film is a little bit sexy, but mostly it's concerned with having violence and action and conspiracies and twists.
She does like going for the low blow on Arnie as well.
Poor guy.
They really play up the idea that she's... Like, you never... Cause she's obviously untrustworthy as far as we can tell. But they play up the sympathy for her every now and again, where, oh, maybe she is a reasonable person. And, no, she is an evil spy. And, oh, she's with, like, the villain from the film. What's the villain guy's... The main guy chasing down Arnie, what's his name?
No, it's not Cohagen. Richter.
Oh, yeah. So you at the party, Richter. That's, I couldn't remember.
That was an odd quip.
Oh, because they meant, well, I think the evil bad guys, who are supposedly in cahoots with the original Arnie, whose name is Hauser, is it, or something?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's, like, inviting them to a party, isn't it? And then when Arnie, at the end of the film... kind of Mortal Kombat finishes Richter on the lift and tears his arms off. And, you know, saying, I'll see you at the party, Richter, it's a callback, isn't it?
I know, but I was expecting some sort of arm-based pun.
What would you have gone with, do you think?
I don't know. Something with the word disarm in it, I don't know.
I always found you disarming. You should have armed yourself. You are armless. Look, you are armless. That's what I would have done. I mean, fair point. I mean, there's no point workshopping it now.
Yeah.
The point I was initially aiming at is there's so many twists, turns, and revelations, and then there's just shit they just put in. There's no reason that you need to have... Like, there's two things he uses. He has these sort of gadgets or kits. Like, there's a dude who just turns up randomly and says, look, I'm leaving a suitcase. You asked me to do this, your past self asked me, what do you mean, like, what's going on, tell me more, and then it's like, no, I'll see you, bud, come get the suitcase, I just work for you, with you, I don't really want to be here, it's a bit inconvenient, actually. And then he has this fucking amazing, like, for no reason, just goes to get the suitcase, and there's an old woman's trying to take it, and he's like, that suitcase is, what's the line, like, oh, I used to be able to
excuse me, but this is mine.
It's mine.
I don't see your name on it.
It's my bag. Someone left it for me.
Go find your own bag.
I don't see your name on it. Oh my God.
Do either of you remember, like, the meme, like, from years ago, where it was just kind of this scene, but repeated?
I think because I remember it, it becomes out of sequence in my mind. But It is wonderful. It's so good. Is he wearing the towel at that point or not? I can't remember.
Yes.
That's why it's even more inexplicable. But yeah, he gets these gadgets from time to time to use, and it's like the first one is just a really ridiculous disguise, I guess, or elaborate sci-fi disguise to get through customs. And we don't know, I guess, that he has some kind of prosthetic suit to make him look like a chubby-faced woman. But it malfunctions in the weirdest way.
It's the only time, really, when it's been helpful that Arnie isn't that tall, really. Like, he's not a small man, but he's not hugely tall. So they did manage to find a woman who theoretically could house Arnold Schwarzenegger within.
You're saying you buy that they could cloister Arnie away inside this rotund lady?
Well, the only bit, it was only really the head that wasn't...
Oh, it's retarded, Abby. Like, it's really mad. Like, but it's funny, and it, like, sure.
I loved it when she was putting her fingers in her mouth and making her cheeks go weird. Like, why would you do this?
I guess because he's meant to be inside tampering, trying to get the outer bit to work. Because, I mean, essentially all that happens is when the bad guys are looking for him, he's in the queue getting his passport checked or whatever. And then she can't, like, she her voice malfunctions.
The only thing she can say is 2 weeks.
And then she spends an incredible amount of time going, blah, 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 you know, like, and then freaking out and jiggling her face. So funny. What a good job from the actress. And then eventually we switch to the CGI. Then we switch to the visual effect of, like, just her fucking head opens up and lifts. She lifts her head up, and inside is Arnie's plastic squished face. And it's just like, what in the fuck are we looking at? It's so good. It's such a good bit. It's so memorable. And so, I love how stupid it is. And I just forgot how ludicrous it's played. It's clearly played for laughs and madness. It's just how long, everyone's sort of looking at her like, what is wrong with this woman? And then it's like,
It was weird as well, because Richter, I think it is, he's the one that clocks that Quaid's inside. And it's like, I wouldn't look at what's happened to that woman and think that Quaid's inside. I would think I want nothing to do with that situation whatsoever and keep on with my day.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, she's having a senior moment. Well, maybe he's used to people, like when people malfunction in their disguises. If you have one of these high, top-of-the-range suit disguises, maybe that's the noise you start making when they're malfunctioning. I can't even begin to unwrap what's going on with that shit. But the other example is, like, later on when they're surrounded by troops or bad guys with guns or whatever, they're using, like, a bracelet that projects a hologram, a realistic hologram of you somewhere else, without any specific rules, but just it makes a replica of you. But then, you know, obviously the bad guys shoot the wrong one. Like, the first time, the film is always fucking with you. So the first time it is just like, ah, we kill him. And he's, like, curling out of the way and possibly dying. And he's like, ha-ha, I'm fake. And then they even have it go on longer, like, hiding behind pillars. And he passes it to his then love interest. And she's done it one time as well. And probably one of the weirdest line reads, this one of the great catchphrases from this film, is just him coming out to the soldiers that are looking for him and being like, you thought it was the real Quaid? It is! And he just shoots them. And he just rushes that line so much. But it's so fucking good. And it's so pointless. Like, why do they have this weird bracelet thing? Do you guys understand it?
Oh, he gives it to himself during the unboxing. When he takes the thing out of his nose, which we haven't talked about at all.
Well, he did talk about it briefly. Go on, Abby.
But just the phrase, put that end up your nose and push, when you hear the crunch, pull. It was like, crunch? Oh!
It's funny, I really like past Arnie on videotape, where he's like he's like slightly calm and smug, because he knows, you know, that he's a spy. Oh, well, he's a, you know, double agent spy type guy, and he knows he's got an elaborate plan in place where he's going to give himself video instructions, and he knows he's not going to understand, but he just explains as best he can, and just knows, like, oh, just be careful, because it's my face as well. I like when they cut, like, when he's pulling the thing out of his nose, there's just Arnie on the tape just waiting, because he knows it'll take time. I'll just film myself waiting a minute. Yeah, good. Then I'll carry on with my instructions. I really like TV video screen Arnie. Do you guys like him? Because he's like kind of a bad... He's a twist bad guy at the end as well, isn't he?
I like the way that he talks about... I don't know if he knows he's called Quaid, or I can't remember, but he talks about him like he's a completely different person.
Well, the idea is he's like a double agent or working for the bad guys or something. And then one of the final twists for the very confused Quaid, who's been unravelling this whole conspiracy on Mars, is like, oh, what have you got now? Like, you're going to reveal my mum is here and that she isn't who I thought she was? And they're like, ah, no, it's you! You're here! And you want your own body back. And we're going to put you in the Total Recall device and put old Arnie's memories back in your brain? Or unwipe you? Or something?
Oh, and that baddie Richter getting a punch in because Hauser won't remember it.
That does... Ooh, unpack
scamp.
That's so psychologically complicated because he's presumably friends with the original Arnie, but this new Arnie has caused him so many problems. Or maybe he doesn't like Hauser that much.
I think they do kind of mention in passing that he's being kept out of the loop slightly.
Yeah, they don't say, like, idiot and stuff like that, but they do keep it. Not talking down, what's the word I'm looking for? But they keep telling me, it's like, I don't pay you to think, stop thinking, do what I want.
Yeah.
And they're just a bit rude.
Like the grey-haired big-wig boss guy who's not that much of a character, but he is, yeah, like you say, bossing the guy about and thinks he's incompetent. Even though, you know, he's doing a pretty good job of tracking down Quaid wherever he goes. And I mean, Quaid has all the advantages. He has all these stupid gadgets that kind of half work. But then you know, he's still got trackers and shit in him. There's a whole lot of different things they try out as ways to find him and ways to avoid being found and conspiracies. I think there's a few too many conspiracies. Like the fact that they write in the taxi driver to be a character. So he's this kind of wacky, fun guy. Like Arnie gets to Mars when he's told himself to go there, or get your ass to Mars. So he goes there to find out what's going on. He's got a few clues and, you know, he has to go to this particular... What's the name of the brothel? Last Chance? Or
the Last Resort?
Last Resort, good pun. So he's got this mission to, like, meet some kind of escort because it may be someone from his past and it turns out it's his ex-lover or something. But we meet this wacky taxi driver guy. I mean, first of all, we get a further prediction of the future. We get the self-driving taxi. We get, like, the... What's it called? That cabby guy?
Johnny Cab!
Terrifying. Just
especially
awful.
When it self-destructs because Arnie refuses to pay.
It doesn't self-destruct so much as Arnie gets annoyed when he hijacks. Like, it won't take him straight. When he's under gunfire, the thing doesn't understand where the location shit is when Arnie's swearing. So he tears it up like he's the fucking Indian in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Just eventually rips it out and throws it down and just drives it himself. But the Johnny Cab thing, just that kind of Max Headroom, almost plasticky torso driving a cab thing is insane. So many things that are grotesque but amazing, aren't they? But a funny, you know, fair enough, like self-driving cars are a thing. Well done, Total Recall. Big wall-monitored TV things are real. What else does this thing get right? It predicts that we're all living on Mars, aren't we? Oh, we're not.
That aliens have found ways to terraform planets in seconds.
That's true.
Yep.
Everything's legit. It's pretty much just holograms and self-driving cars, isn't it? The odd... I don't know. Nothing else coming to mind off the top of my head. But, yeah, I like the cab thing. But then they have a real-life... On Mars, they have, like, some regular sort of taxi drivers. And that guy, like, the black guy with the weird teeth... is all, like, friendly and a bit of a card and a bit of a character. And then they have him be, oh, I'm a mutant, I'm on your side. He shows his wacky arm.
Benny.
Benny, right. And then he double-crosses them, and they think he tries to kill them with some wall, like, drilling. They have these
digger equipment.
Big, massive drill digger equipment. And it's like, who is this guy? With his five kids that have become four, and, like I don't really get why... They have him be in another twist, you know?
Well, but I took it more like, presumably there's some kind of bounty on him as well. And Benny's picked up on it by noticing him in the... I was going to say foyer. That's not the word.
Well, he's in with the bad guys for some reason. It's not really that more elaborate than that. He's like, not really driving a cab for his five kids. He's, you know... He's a mutant out to make money, and he doesn't care that he's betraying his own people. Blah blah blah, isn't it? I mean, but then if it wasn't so full of weird twists and wacky reveals, I'd be like, could have done more. So I don't think I'd be happy either way. What other baffling plot elements do we have in this? Because I feel like there's so many twists, I can't even remember them all. It is basically just like every character has a conversation with him about, I don't remember who you are, is it really who you are, help me, work with me, isn't it? You know, do you guys remember?
Mm-hmm. There's I think the main one is when like the doctor guy comes and tries to convince him that he's just still in recall dreaming.
I have, in my notes, I've referred to that as the sweat giveaway.
Yeah.
That guy did a wonderful job. He was monologuing for the gods.
He was correct to assume he'd get shot as well. Like, they knock on Arnie's, wherever Arnie's staying, the hotel or whatever. And basically, he's like, don't shoot. And then he's like, springs into action with the, right, something's gone wrong in the Total Recall. I've come to explain to you. He's all very meta. You can trust me. I brought your wife just to prove it to you. She's logged in the memory thing, something, somehow. And yeah, the bead of sweat gives it away, at least as far as Arnie's concerned. He couldn't possibly have dreamed the guy was nervous. Why would he be nervous if he can't die in this? Yada, yada. I choose to live in the dream. Bang, you're dead, you know. It's a good scene, though. It's like a good concept, that one. This is full of those, isn't it? Like, but I feel there's more. Any more that you guys remember?
I have a note here. There was a completely unnecessary fish massacre.
Fish massacre? Goldfish?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah!
That was not needed to kill those fish. Bad fall.
Not on, yeah. Sad. But then they kill lots of the characters from the... The brothel's kind of a comedy moment where Arnie's there trying to meet...
No, but they don't actually kill the actors. But to get that shot with the fish, I'm pretty sure you just kill the fish.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the making of documentary to know if they scooped them all up with a net. They might have. Oh, RIP dead goldfish? They'll be dead now anyway.
That's me too.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of fictional characters are killed, though. There's a lot of, like, murdering civilians in the street. There's so many scenes where people just are bombarded with gunfire, human shields are being used, henchmen
die. Oh, that
human
shield bit.
Oh, yeah. That was the best.
That was nasty. He uses that guy as a human shield for a good, like, 5 minutes. Several different shooters, several different kinds of guns, and he's just... Oh, the guy is in pieces.
Of course, human bodies are bulletproof, as we well know.
I think bullet absorbent would be a better word.
Yeah, clearly I haven't seen enough Deadliest Warrior to show pig carcasses being shot to test out the armor to know how. No, we need a ballistics fact checking. How would a bullet go through
table.
A human? Yeah, by Cedar in Studios. But there's so that you know, but. Every scene between a twist is basically an action sequence where people are running and jumping and shooting. More twists, guys. I want to try to remember some more of the wacky twists of Total Recall.
Well, it's not so much twists as just...
Reveals? Mindfucks?
Yeah, I guess it's more reveals. And like the stuff with Quarto where it's like, oh, Quarto was actually that guy and he's got a little baby man in his stomach. And
yeah,
then...
they meet the resistance and stuff. It's like basically... Arnie's previous girlfriend, who's the... what's her name? The prostitute of not well...
Melina.
Yeah.
She's undercover as a prostitute, is she, or...?
I don't think she's really a prostitute, to be honest. I think they just say she is so that they could justify her just hanging around in the bar.
Right. Well, so the filmmakers can justify more prostitutes. He does select sleazy as one of the things. When he's picking things, he picks the very look that this woman has. And
it's one of the few times where I don't find that like repellent as a thing. Because it was more just honest. Like,
well,
if you're really honest with yourself, you want someone sleazy.
You need to be honest with us, because if you're... if you lie to the science people at Total Recall... The lab technicians won't program it properly and it'll go wrong. And it's like, how sexually, what you into? Heterosexual. Be honest. I'm a little bi. I'm a little gay. I'm into pegging. What kind of hair do you like? Oh, the same colour hair my wife doesn't have. Shut up. Don't make a point of it. But yeah, you're right. They do say, be honest, because, you know, the memory magic won't work.
No, I think it's more, it won't ring true to you.
Mm.
You won't have as much fun. Do you really like water slides, or do you prefer chess? I prefer chess. Prefer a good night in with a book than shots and tequilas.
Now that I do agree with.
Anyway, we're not tailoring your boring, your unachievable fantasy of staying in and reading a book. I couldn't. I should have had the memory plant to have read the 18 pages of Total Recall. So I couldn't do it in real life. Anyway, any more big twists or turns in the notes that you think we should talk about?
I don't think there are. Like, except, well, the mining story comes to an end where it turns out the pyramid has the machinery in it that can make oxygen. That's sort of a... It's not so much a twist as it is a resolution towards the end, and then becomes... It precipitates the showdown between Quaid and... I was about to say Copenhagen. Not his name.
Oh.
Copenhagen, yeah.
Copenhagen.
So the will say, like, in any other film... Like, this bit at the end would just have been too much. But in this film, it's like, yeah.
Sure.
Why not at this point?
Yeah.
So the overall big conspiracy is an evil corporation is stingily holding on to the... Well, one guy mainly is holding on to all the machinery that can make loads of oxygen and basically make the atmosphere of Mars better if he wanted to. But he rations out air... to tax basically the people on Mars to make loads of money.
An argument could be made that he genuinely did think that it was dangerous.
He doesn't want it all released in the big explosion.
I think it had something to do with the mining, because like he kept saying like they're mining some certain thing, I forget what, and if this happens they can't mine anymore.
Yeah, it was the stuff they were mining was the stuff that was in the machinery. So in order to keep mining it, he had to not turn on the machine. But if you're at the point where you're going to die, I don't think you would necessarily keep lying the same lie to try and convince him to stop. So I think he was telling the truth in the end, where he's like, no, everyone will die if you turn on the machine.
Well, I mean, the science of this film, if you can call it that, is very, very fiction. I mean, just the whole atmosphere thing doesn't make any sense. But it's, I mean, it provides loads of eye-boggling, head-explosion-y type things, so I'm all for it. It's such a... Because we, at this stage, Annie kind of has fought off so many henchmen, gone through so many layers of conspiracy, has climbed a lift shaft up to the top of the building to face off the main bad guy. He's had his main nemesis, his arms come off in his hands. His girlfriend has got a gun and she helps shoot the guy. And they spend some time being, like, sucked out of a hole. Like basically, you know, it has so much... Like, it's like, all right, we've finally got here. We're going to scream and try and touch a button to make all the air come out. And we're being sucked out of a fucking hole into the non-atmosphere of Mars or something. But then, they're scrabbling to get to the button with the alien handprint and everything. And we get... The bad guy gets dispatched, you know, pretty cool. He just basically elbows him off, and then he goes and has his googly head explode outside Mars, which takes ages. It's a good job as well. It takes a while to die from the no atmosphere, because, you know, Arnie and his girlfriend, what's her name?
Melina.
Melina, yeah, sure. Melina and Quaid, when they go flying out into the, you know, non-atmosphere of Mars... They spent ages wriggling on the floor with their eyeballs popping out and swelling
up.
Yeah,
I don't care how quickly that oxygen came in. They're not fine.
Not fine. Just the damage to your skin. Even in their concept, their face would be irreparably scarred and damaged. I mean, let alone that's not anything like what would happen. Baffling. But fucking freaky as hell, so leave it in.
I do, like, all credit and props I shouldn't say props because that's confusing. All credit to the special effects team for the whole of this film. Bravo. Mm. And you clearly had a fantastic time as well. It's like, make his eyes goggle out more. Okay.
We need this one to pulsate around the neck. Yeah, that's a good idea. How many ways can you see someone's face swell up and distort? Like, it's amazing. I mean, yeah, but like, so the conspiracy is that there's technology on Mars from, is it Martians or is it the mutants did something?
No, it's like ancient, like millions of years old.
So we, in this concept, humans colonized Mars, but years and years before there was a civilization of actual Martians with like legitimately alien hands.
Mm-hmm.
Had the technology to make the atmosphere or make oxygen, but they hadn't done it or communicated with us on Earth. They had gone
well,
now.
That works. This is a right. I don't know how much to go into this because this is a very big topic. The thing about there being life on other planets is that not only does it have to be near enough to Earth for us to know that it exists, it also has to happen at the same time that we exist in the universe. So when they were existing on Mars, we did not necessarily exist on Earth.
Yeah, in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, etc. and so forth. But, you know, in reality, if there is life on Mars, like I think there was a newspaper article very recently to us in real life that they've potentially found proof of life on Mars, or the potential for life. It's these tiny, microscopic signs of potential rather than little green men who have built things. But this scenario takes place in that there's an ancient society here that lived a long time ago and did stuff. But they didn't successfully create an atmosphere on Mars because it would have changed the colour of it from space, right? Or we would have seen it? I don't know. What were they saying? What were this ancient alien race up to that they have gone now? We don't get any answers.
I don't know. Nope,
it's just mysterious, like the Egyptians. Maybe they built a big spaceship and fucked off. They looked at Earth and went, we could go and talk to them. No, they'll be awful company on an adventure. Oh. So the ancient aliens have the technology that the corporation that have took over Mars are keeping to themselves, and then Quaid manages to set it off with his little palm print, and then that explodes oxygen and creates an atmosphere on Mars, and all the people who've had it starved from them can breathe again and live.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves them when they get fucked off into the down the tube, into shot out into, you know, the dunes or whatever. Is that right? That it was aliens. Aliens made the oxygen thing. Mm-hmm. A corporation is mining, and mutants are being treated as second-class citizens and rebelling because they've been treated so awfully.
Mm-hmm.
And Earth is basically, Mars is a bit shit. It's a bit like Australia.
That's an awful thing to say.
That's what they see. I'm saying the people in this story treat Mars like some kind of the Western frontier. Like it's, you know, civil war. They kind of treat it like, you know, some war-torn place that's awful. Why would you go there? Sleazy and hard to live. And, you know, the whole pitch Arnie's, Quaid's wife is making is, oh, why would you go there? Like, you can have a much better holiday somewhere else. It's basically like a horrible mining town. Full of civil war and unrest, you know. But, the main thing is Quaid makes the oxygen explode and the sky turns blue, because it does, shut up. And they stop exploding their heads, and it does bring into question, like, Quaid starts to question, oh, this is exactly what I asked for in my memory holiday. So the blue sky of Mars could be a further sign. And then it's like, well, you should kiss me now in case you wake up from this dream. And, you know, it's a nice ending. It's a very reminiscent of Logan's Run, this film, at times, I think.
There were quite a few points, especially when they were on Mars, where it kept reminding me of, just the Super Mario Brothers movie, but done right.
Wow. I mean, I don't know even how to unpack that. Yeah, kind of. A lot of crossovers, I think. I mean, it certainly wasn't as awful as that. But it was imaginative and full of stuff that, yeah, like, the, you know, they got weird mutants.
Plus,
and
this film probably had like four times the budget of the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Well, a shit ton of creativity as well, which wasn't in Mario Brothers. Unless randomising everything is creative. I don't know. Is there any other things this remind you of, guys? Because Logan's Run, maybe because we did it for Spoilerfield a little while ago, it came to mind. But just the, yay, the people can come out and experience the atmosphere, but it's still a bit bleak because, you know, still empty shit old Mars and stuff. We can build a proper society again now, I guess. And, you know, a lot of the conspiratorial elements of Logan's Run, I guess, as well. And just the mad, I've bumped into a weird fucking robot or a mutant or a taxi cab. Or, there's lots of stuff where it's like, what the hell is this now? Logan's Run had that going on.
No, it doesn't really... Nothing specific it reminds me of. It just has that sort of general science fiction pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of dudes were writing stories in back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And then this has come along and made a big budget movie out of that kind of stuff. So it's got the 80s feel of excess, catchphrases, guns, sex, explosions. You know, it's a really 80s-ish, 90s-ish exploitation-y, over the top, big budget action-y madness, but it's in the same vein of the imaginative world of those, you know, like Philip K. Dick wrote a lot of stuff. Philip K. Dick, you know, did lots of these, like, a lot of interesting concepts that, you know, were in book form quite imaginative, but hard to accomplish visually. And it's Total Recall does a really good job of keeping the spirit of that going, I think. I was thinking you might have some thoughts on where it stands in the greater position of sci-fi and imagined, because you just don't get as many mad out there what can we do with this sci-fis, I don't think.
No, it's there's two branches of sci-fi fans, and it's the people who want to have fun and it's the people who don't. Ooh. And for the people who want to have fun, this is a classic. It's great, up on a pedestal. And then for the people who don't want to have fun, not having it.
But I think that's sometimes the problem is, that's what happens to Star Wars so often. It's like, Star Wars is about having fun, but it's also about being really boring. I think Star Wars fights that battle where it doesn't know whether it's a serious, believable thing that's based in reality and could plausibly happen if you forgive the sci-fi nonsense, but this is a melodrama. And it's like, no, be fun, sad, like, just at times anyway. I shouldn't open up a Star Wars debate at the end, but I feel like you're right, there are two schools. It's serious, we're making a philosophical point and we're speculating on the state of the world and the universe and the future, and then there's what could you imagine the future would be like, wow, robots and mutants and weird fucking technologies and holograms and three-titted mutant prostitutes, of course. So I love that this one is indulgent of everything. It's really like, it's a buffet, and you're just full at the end of this. Shit, I've done another buffet metaphor. I didn't want to.
I was going to do a hamper one, but it's too similar.
Hamper? Yeah, but if we are, you know, Anthony, have you got any other bits and bobs of the film you think, oh, we glossed over that a bit too quickly?
Only, pointing out a few, like, cameos that you might not have noticed. Like, the voice of Johnny Cabs was Robert Picardo, who plays the Doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
Of course it fucking was. This is the era where he was sneaking in all over the place, Robert Picardo. Ooh.
And another one that you probably didn't notice was Tony, who was, like, the main mutant who had, like, a growth over one of his eyes.
Oh, you couldn't see much of him, to be fair.
Yeah.
That
was played by Dean Norris, a.k.a. Hank from Breaking Bad.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's a good one. God, I mean, yeah. I mean, he kind of does start to look like that in Better Call Saul now. Suddenly, real old. No, that's harsh, obviously. Oh, wow. Oh, God, I can't believe I missed it. Twice I watched it for this, and I still didn't spot him. He's wearing a lot of makeup, I guess.
Mm.
Another bit of trivia. Billy Zane, his bald head is used as one of the third tits in The Prostitute. Didn't know that, did you?
I was going to like look over the trivia page for this on IMDb, but it is the longest trivia page I have ever seen.
I think that I feel like a little bit Total Recall is so epic, so good in its own mad way. You can't like there's so you. It's too big for us to deal with. There's so much to know about it. There's so much you could unpack and learn about the special effects team. You know, I'm sure there's a wealth of stuff about Total Recall. You know, we did well to have one of us read the book. And I think, Anthony, you'd seen the remake. So, you know, we tried, but there's so much that Total Recall gives. You can't tackle it all, can you? So there's always going to be stuff we glossed over, missed, avoided, are oblivious to. So I think it's just, not only is it a good film to watch as a recommendation, but, like, you know, it's just fucking, you could spend ages thinking about the world, inspired a shit ton of video games and other films. It's the gift that keeps on giving, old Total Recall, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't think we've mentioned enough, but this is, like, the epitome of, like, the quotable Schwarzenegger lines as well.
Oh, yeah, there's lots.
Yeah. I mean, my favourites are just, you thought it was the real Quaid, it is. And See You at the Party, Richter. And the bag thing? Yeah, what else is in there? Like,
consider that a divorce.
Yeah. That's a good one.
See You at the Party, Richter.
Just generally the Arnie screams.
Mm.
He's got quite a good, but yeah, this is like the top of the pyramid for everything that you. It's everything you expect from an Arnie film and more, you know. Because sometimes you know Terminator can be quite subtle. You know, it's not one of those. It's quite good and it's quite sparing with certain aspects of the. Like this is proper though. We're gonna fucking. We know what we're doing. We're making a fun action movie, and Arnie's aware of that. That's why he's kind of the right man for the job.
Hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess we are on metaphors. If we, you know, if you guys got any,
I don't really have one, but for me, it's like just a wonderful dream that you've had. That you like the most dreams you just don't remember, but like this is the one where you like wake up and you tell everyone about it and like bore them to death because it was just so incredible.
I think also, having read a little bit of the book, I will say in the thing, it suggests that this is better than a dream memory. Or this is better than a memory because it's more vivid. We pack so much detail into your Total Recall holiday in your memory that it's kind of more real than your actual memories, which fade with time. So this, you could rewatch it. It's better than a dream because you could show it to people. You can't just tell them about it. It's like you've had a more than real dream that you could show and tell an experience, you know?
Mm.
Total Recall, better than your dreams. That could have been a slogan easily. It is a mad dream, though. It's fucking weird, but fun.
I'm trying to think of... Because I read the short and then the book, I'm trying to think of a situation where someone says, I'm going to bring a X, and then they come with the best, biggest one of them. Like, bigger than you expected. It's like, what are you doing? This is too generous. I can't possibly take this. No, it's fine. You take it. Really? Thank you so much. But I can't think of the thing.
So someone has brought X, and it's a bigger X than you imagined.
I suppose it's a bit like, oh, I'll bring a bottle of wine. And then they bring, like, a 200-year-old bottle of wine that's worth £500,000. And you're like, no.
And your very own sommelier to dispense it and tell you trivia and facts about it.
Yeah.
And then you're drunk at the end. And you're like, hey, I don't know what fucking is happening anymore. Woo. Okay, so it's an expensive bottle of wine.
But when you were expecting... Just a normal bottle of wine.
Like a box of wine.
Someone said, oh, I'll bring some wine. And you're like, oh, fine, yeah, we'll have it over dinner. That's great. Yeah, and yeah. then they bring that and you're like...
Chateau Le Blanc, 1782.
What are you doing? Oh, it's fine, I have three. What?
It's fine. All right, one of them I sold to the cranes in Fraser. Okay. I didn't expect a wine one, but okay, that's fine. So, a dream or a bottle of wine... I don't know. What can I bring to the table here? I don't know. Cheese. A bounty of cheese. More cheese than you could even imagine and ask for. It is cheesy. I'll say that much. It is just that thing of it has no... There's no reason it's as good as this. Like, on paper, you go, that's fucking stupid. This is, like, if you, like, to read the script, you go, oh, what a load of, like, this is crammed full of so much nonsense. It shouldn't work. You're casting Arnie, that Austrian bloke who can't talk properly and is all muscles. Like, he'll be rubbish in it. Why, everything is kind of, should be terrible by, like, sophisticated standards. But it's not. It's magic and brilliant and it's everything you could want from a kind of 90s action movie. It's just... It's the fucking creme de la creme. I'm going to go basic and say it is the top of the top. Cream of the cream. It's just the best. I love Total Recall. Predator, The Terminator, brilliant. But Total Recall is so giving. So, so giving. And yeah, like your wine metaphor, Abby, you do feel a bit like, what the fuck was that party after? Like, we expected to get a little drunk and buzzed off cheap shit wine and stomach it, but no, we have experienced something special and are now a little bit more than lightheaded at the end. So yeah, I don't know. It's head-explodingly good. This has been a surprisingly quick podcast, considering how much of the film... there is to talk about.
It's because it wasn't full of vitriol and hate.
It's a lot quicker to be nice, isn't it?
It is. This film is really good. Everyone should see it.
I mean, if you...
Agreed.
If you listened to the podcast this far and hadn't seen the film, I mean, what's wrong with you? Maybe get to a doctor. And... Anyway, you know, obviously, Total Recall is great. Why... We felt the need to chat about it, Abby, I don't know.
Because I don't want people to only think there's the later one. We have to just... We're just dutifully pointing. That's what we're doing. It's like, yeah, there's two. You want to watch this one. All right?
Yeah. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all going to have our memory of making the podcast erased. And then we can have all the fun of talking about it and watching it again. Hooray!
Yay!
Yay!
Or is this all a simulation to begin with? You decide. Anyway, bye for now.
Bye!
Maybe it's just all a dream, guys. Maybe we
is
should all...
Is it a dream?
Maybe we should kiss.
Go find your room back!
Don't see your name on it. Someone left it for me. So good.
I love the number of people who've got to do really odd scenes with Arnold Schwarzenegger.